I think I found it. I think it's up here.
Yes, folks, that is the sound of Amtrak as you travel sometimes. We're in our room here on the, the Silver Meteor. That's a line we've never taken before. It goes from New York to Miami.
That's the actual name of it?
Says so right on our little welcome card here. They welcomed us by name. You walk into your room and there it is. Welcome with both of our names on it. We're the Silver Meteor.
That's a reference to the Space Coast, right?
Is it a reference to the Space Coast?
I don't know. I mean, they have that in Florida. Maybe it's very space related. So that seems like maybe there's a connection. I don't know.
Well, in any event, it's one of two trains that go down there. The other one, what's the other one called? The Silver Bullet? The Silver Star? Silver Star. It might be the Silver Star.
Silver Starlight. That's California, though. Isn't it?
No, but that's not the one I'm talking about. There's another silver train that goes to Florida, but it doesn't have a dining car.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar of all the routes that go to Florida. This is a new one for us, definitely. Very interesting to be going so far south on the eastern coast of the U.S.
Yeah, and unfortunately we have this noise. We don't know what it means. It started up just a little while ago. Where are we? Are we in Baltimore? Is this where we...
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we'll be hitting D.C. pretty soon. We have our dinner reservations in the dining car, a bunch of cars up ahead. And, it's cool because usually when you get on a train in Penn Station, you're going to D.C. and, there's not a sleeper or anything like that. You're sitting in a chair and there's maybe a cafe car. But here it's like a cross-country train as well. You have the people that are just going to D.C. in their seats, but you also have people like us that are sitting in the back in a room with a horrible noise.
Yeah, it's not unlike, I think, the sound that you hear when you get x-rays, like of your teeth or something.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I just did get x-rays this week of my teeth. Actually, you're right, it does. It makes that noise for maybe a second. Yeah.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Those passengers were holding 6:30 dinner reservation. Have its passengers holding 6:30 dinner reservation. Please proceed to the dining car at this time. Thank you.
Okay, that's not us. Our reservations are at 8:15.
I think it's the emitter in the X-ray cathode or whatever actually makes a bit of a sound when it's being energized.
Well, that emitter shouldn't be on a train, and it shouldn't be emitting all the time like this. And I hope it stops fairly soon, or I'm gonna be fairly perturbed. But the noise that I really hate in the dentist is when they're doing stuff to your teeth, and it's super high pitch. I talked to my dentist about this. I said, of all the technology you guys have, and really, it's impressive. They can build teeth downstairs. They can do all kinds of computers and all sorts of 3D printing and things like that. You can't make this thing not make that noise. That high pitched whine that just of all the things they did to my teeth, they did a thorough cleaning, and there's a little bit of sensitivity in some places, but the thing that was the most annoying is when that sound got into my ear really loud. That was the most uncomfortable, and that they can do nothing about.
Yes, I think that's ultrasonic technology. But suffice to say, we're not getting our teeth worked on. This is actually yet another train episode of Off the Wall.
Wouldn't that be good if we had a teaser before the show? Because what you just said, you'd follow it with the theme music. Should we have it maybe a teaser from now on? Like basically sort of like a previously on Off the Wall, or, to say something that'll entice people to keep listening and then play the theme?
Well, you've touched on something that I think a lot of people would recognize from various television and movies and various series, especially serials or series. They'll usually do the kind of hard intro, or I guess is that a cold intro? That's Saturday Night Live.
We're bad at the terminology, but that thing at the beginning where they just basically do something and then they play the music and then they do the show. That's what we're talking about. But we could change. 2018 is coming. New ideas, new ways of doing things. Write into us, otw@2600.com, and maybe we'll do something different.
What do we call that? Let's say that's like a staggered intro.
A staggered intro. Yeah. Well, we do kind of stagger around once we're in the studio, so I guess it does sort of make sense.
Actually, that kind of sounds like something that happens at a bar. Staggered intro. Yes, we made the staggered introduction. And no, it's We'll come up with a term, but you know what we mean. If you're interested, let us know.
For those listeners who have stuck it out and have not tuned away because of this horrible noise, we have a reward for you. We're going to actually start moving around the train, unless the whole train is making this noise, and explore a little bit, and I believe we're even going to get a drink.
Yes, we're in the back of the train now. So just so people know, we're right before the baggage car. So
we're moving. We just started moving, and we didn't even know it.
You're right.
Or the train next to us is moving. Which is it? You can't tell sometimes.
It's us.
That's a MARC train, M-A-R-C. And you know, we once saw a MARC train on Long Island at the Stony Brook Station. Like, apparently they borrowed trains from Baltimore.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, that's the LIRR for you. We basically came into the city on the LIRR and had a very leisurely time. We were able to just make our train. It's always just getting worse, isn't it? Let's get out of here. It's a way to travel. I mean, it's not much of an endorsement right now, I know, but well, imagine if this noise was on a plane.
Yeah, I guess it would be more concerning because you wouldn't know what it was and you'd worry that it's something catastrophic. When you're dealing with trains, maybe, I think it's more unsettling, but less of a critical thing. It doesn't seem like something's going really wrong. It's just something that has been tolerated because the train is so used, so well-traveled, and such high traffic, these things occur over time, and it's not going to be until 2018 until we get new trains on Amtrak.
You could be their spokesman, the way you're making excuses for this. There's no... Thank you. Oh, forgot. That's what it's like without the noise. Okay, it's gone. It's gone. Wow. And this is what the train sounds like without the horrible... Damn it! Sorry. Someone was passing by just when I cussed.
So anyway, we're in the back of the train. Baggage cars is the last car.
We're being treated like we're in the back of the train, too.
And we're going to now make our way towards where all of the regular train activity is. We know we've done stuff like this before. This is what we're doing now on this particular train. There might be different Amtrak stuff. I think we've only walked a train once before, and I'm not sure if it was Amtrak.
We've walked trains in Europe, I know that much, and probably from end to end. Yeah, I think we have done that. It's sort of a tradition. Oh, I think we're in a tunnel now, right outside Baltimore.
My point is it's very seldom that we bring a radio station with us, but we're doing that today.
At no extra charge to you, listeners, and not every radio station can say that. Do you want to start at the back and look at the baggage car, which is right behind us, or do you want to skip that and just walk towards where we're getting a drink?
Sure, let's walk back, and then we'll double back past our space here to the rest of the train.
Well, let me just put my console in my pocket so that I don't stand out too much. I will be walking around with headphones and a microphone, but I guess these days that's not that unusual. And can you describe what you're doing now, Kyle?
That was just the door, the curtain.
We have a door and a curtain. So the door shuts. We're going to do that now. But the curtain has Velcro, and it's
also the sound of an eyelid being caught on a rusty nail.
Don't say that. I don't want people to get that imagery out of my head. Let's close the door now.
That's an inside joke.
Let's hear the sound of our door closing. And the noise beginning again. Okay. So we're going to look at the baggage car back here. Now there's a whole... There's a whole lot of roomettes. These are roomettes, what we're passing right now. They're even smaller than our room.
With a toilet.
And what?
With a toilet.
You want to describe how that works?
Well, basically you have two seats, and then beside one of the seats, it looks like a little luggage area, but it's actually a restroom. So if you need to relieve yourself, you don't have to leave your roomette.
What's kind of weird, I mentioned we had a card. These people in the roomette have a card, too, so we know their name now. That's a little bit of an invasion of privacy, I think. Don't lift that toilet, Kyle. That's not appropriate. All right.
It's not like they used it yet.
Well, now you know if they did.
That is strange, though, that they're identifying everybody's, but it's nice. It's just...
It's a nice gesture.
It's a little familiar, though, at the same time.
Okay, so here we are. Look, there's a shower right here. This is just a shower and nothing else in this room.
Yeah, because our roomettes don't have a shower.
Oh, so they come down the hallway and use it. Okay, so here we are at the very back, with the exception of one car in back of us, which I don't think we can get into, and I'm not going to try. But it's a baggage car, and it's got all kinds of, well, baggage in it.
Yes, and bicycles.
Bicycles, which qualify as baggage. Sometimes you see dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not running free. They really shouldn't be doing that, but in cages. And this is what is in the very back of the train.
Okay, so we're going to start from the very back and make our way up several cars.
Yes. Hopefully we won't get lost. It's a pretty direct route here. It's hard enough keeping your balance, let alone when you're carrying a microphone and a radio station with you. But this is the last car, Remetz, and then we have, I think there's only two rooms in this car because we're B, and there's a room next to us called A.
Cool.
Which I think is a little
also
bigger, actually.
H, which is the family big. Oh no, this is the handicap room.
The handicap. This is one we haven't tried. We've tried a family room,
yeah,
on one of the double deckers, which really wasn't that much bigger. But this handicap room, you can look right into it.
That's a really big bathroom too. That's for wheelchair access.
I like really this. Big bathrooms.
We're just looking at it through the window in the hallway too.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the people in there. We don't mean to stare at you. No, actually, it was empty, but we would stare even if it wasn't.
Yeah,
all right, now we're passing between cars. We're going into car 9712, which is a big display.
It's tricky. You gotta hold the handrails, and then the doors have buttons that say press, and there's one on the top, one on the bottom. You can press it with your hand, or you can kick it with your foot. Either or will open it.
I like to kick it with my foot. Yeah. I only discovered you could do that a few years ago.
I'm gonna
kick. Whoa, I almost got thrown off the train right now.
This is Maryland, after all.
What does that mean?
They know.
All right. Kyle has kicked the door. I had to kick it twice. And here we are in another car with roomettes. And I imagine rooms at the other end. It's really quite a nice way to travel, just having a little bunk and relaxing. It's very relaxing, the rhythm of the rails.
Okay, so this is an identical car. Again, we're at the handicapped room on the other side of that car.
I think someone's in that one because the lights are out. And we're going through to car 9711 now.
At the end of this one and at another set of the exact same style door, so I'm going to kick it again.
What does this switch mean that says open and secured?
It means that this door that is not automatic
closes
because it's the end of the train.
So let's not push that lever. Kyle's going to open the door again. All right, and what do we have now? Looks like more roomettes. A lot of people traveling down south.
It's
past Thomas and Angela Smith. They aren't in their room. Well, I shouldn't know this. I shouldn't know this about people, but their card is right there and the room is empty. Well, not empty, but no people.
Good to know.
Oh, we have an alert here. It says tank empty for the toilet system.
Yeah, toilet system.
That's disturbing news. Well, that's in this car, so.
People need to contribute more.
Yes. And now we're moving to car 9710. All right, and yet again, more. Boy, I had no idea there's so many sleeper cars. This is more than the cross-country train has.
This is pretty much identical configuration.
What kind of name is Reyna? I'm sorry, I have to stop looking at people's cards.
Is that brothers, maybe?
What, Marshall and Mark? Are we really prying into people's personal lives?
That's the format for spouses, you know. Just saying.
Well, it's gender neutral. They don't say Mr. or Mrs. or Doctor or Sir. Okay, so let's stand here for a moment because...
Yeah.
We're basically right in front of the dining car now, and this guy's staring at me. It's one person sitting at a table by himself looking at me with a microphone, so I'm looking the other way now.
It might be a cafe car. I don't mean to correct you, but it's...
No, correct me. Go ahead. That's what Amtrak is for.
Right. It's both cafe and dining. I think they're right one after the other. So basically, you can go for your meal, but you can also get a snack and lounge. But they don't have an observation car, so they just keep all that in one... area.
How do you know they don't have an observation car?
I don't think they do.
Well, that dashes my hopes. I was hoping to observe things.
I'm guessing. Actually, well, I do see them taking orders, so this might be a... Actually, no, it looks like a cafe. We're going to find out.
You're going to ask. I'm going to try and stand here with a microphone and not look like I'm doing anything.
I think this is the dining car.
Well, if it is the dining car, we're going to go through to the next car.
To the next car,
and
right?
Have the Amtrak secret that people don't know about. Let's try not to make a fuss here. So, I guess that was the dining car, right? Because I saw waiters.
Yeah, but it's got a really high ceiling, which it makes me realize that what we're walking by now is probably the kitchen. So the kitchen isn't below, it's just one half or the other.
Yeah, unlike in the when we do this in the west of Chicago, it's not a double-decker car, so there's no downstairs. And this is the first time I've seen the kitchen actually on the same level. So we'll explore that a little bit later. They generally don't like it when you go into the kitchen.
It's an unusual dining car from what we've seen on Amtrak.
So now this is more of a traditional cafe car coming up here with tables. So shall we get our secret beverage here?
Yes, I think if they're taking orders, we'll...
Well, we could ask.
Are you serving drinks?
Yeah, what would you like?
Two of the famous Amtrak Bloody Marys, please.
This is the only reason I take the train, is for these.
They're really good drinks.
They are. See, there are some open tables over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of different tables in this cafe car, so we can probably sit and relax a little bit. Hi there.
It's a little pre-dinner drink here. So
yeah, we still have a couple hours.
Wait, less than that.
You want me to mix these, or you want to wait until you get back?
Do you have any Tabasco?
Yeah.
We'll have them here, so we might as well mix them here.
Okay, yeah, we'll mix them here, if you can.
Okay.
And some pepper and Tabasco, if you got it, that'd be great.
Oh, there. Okay. He's going to make you go back to close the lounge car. He's going to make you go back to your room now.
Okay, all right.
This is closing?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's okay. We lose power in Washington. So you want to take this with you and do it in your room?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to do that.
I'll do a splash here.
Okay,
just splash it in. Yeah.
So
we're all the way on the end.
We go diesel after Washington, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So no power. Oh boy.
Okay.
You're generous with that Tabasco sauce.
Oh yeah. Ten pseudo drops.
Anything else?
We're all set.
Okay, it's $14. Does
the dining car lose power too after Washington?
The whole train.
Oh,
that's while we sit in Washington, not after Washington.
Oh, while we're there.
Got it. Okay.
That's why our reservation's after. Okay. Thanks a lot, James. Here's a little something.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, you able to carry that?
I got the pepper, we're all set.
All right, so now a bit of a change in plans here. So I guess we won't continue our tour of the passenger cars. We know what those look like.
Yeah, you know what.
So we'll head back to the room.
Sure.
I don't know why we can't sit at these tables, though. They're going to have power until D.C. It's a bit of a mystery, because our reservations are at 8:15, and that's at least an hour away, so...
But honestly, these are good reasons to go on a walk around the train, so you find out what actually is going on, and you don't get surprised.
Well, I'm surprised now, but yeah, I see what you mean. All kinds of intrigue and mystery and contradictions and things like that.
This is definitely a new dining car. It's something we've never seen before.
Yeah, maybe they've added it. I do like single levels more than double deckers. The thing to remember with the dining cars, it's real food. They have a kitchen, they're cooking. I just looked at some of the plates and it's like going out. It's not you know, 5-star maybe, but it's what, 3.5 maybe.
It's definitely a restaurant on wheels.
It is. And the cool thing is that when you travel like we're traveling, meals are included. So if you get a bedroom, you get 3 meals a day, assuming you're on the train that long.
Yeah, that's right. And it's something that people don't realize. And when we tell people about traveling this way, we remind them that you get accommodations and so on, and that those would be extra expenses otherwise.
Absolutely. And we were talking the cost of a room, the cost of travel, the cost of food. All that is packaged into one here when you do the sleeper thing. And you also just wind up arriving in a much better frame of mind. We just went up to Penn Station and took our time, hung on the lounge there, which you get to do if you're a sleeper.
How do you really put a value on that?
Yeah.
You know, not getting what is essentially undressed and dressed again. You know,
pretty much.
Just to get...
No obnoxious security people wanding you and all that kind of thing. I lost track of how many sleeper cars we've walked through so far.
This is number 2, and ours is next.
Okay. Yeah, if we wind up in the baggage car, we've gone too far.
Actually, 9712, I think we're 9813, so yeah, we got one more actually.
Wait, why are we 98 when that's 97?
Because it was screwed up on our ticket.
Wow, okay. So, that's not our room, okay.
Right.
That would be our room if it was the right car.
So it's, I think, four cars of sleepers?
Four cars of sleepers, yeah.
Like a lot of
sleeper agents on this car.
Yeah.
On this train, that is.
Sleeper cells.
Sleeper cells, that's what they are. They are sleeper cells. You have to call them what they are, right?
Yep.
Oh, that says 9713, so our ticket is what says the wrong car number. Am I going first? All right. Wow, it's really kind of a challenge sometimes to keep your balance. But here we are. You can tell by the sound of the door opening.
It's so funny how seriously he takes the loss of power. Like,
well, I mean...
We lose power in D.C.
He might lose power.
Are you talking about the election? Because, look, we all feel that way about D.C., but it's... it's not helping that you're telling me this while I'm buying a drink.
All right, now you have to unfold that chair there because it's very compact in this room. But it's nice because we have total privacy now and a nice view of the world going by. And we have to pour these drinks now.
I have extra goldfish from the, let's just say the New York Lounge is it's next on the list to be improved.
Yeah, they don't have pretzels.
Once you experience Chicago's new lounge, the world just seems smaller after that.
I don't understand why they can't have pretzels. I mean, all we had were goldfish and coffee.
Yeah,
not even any juice.
What did Pepperidge Farm do to get in good with the New York Amtrak station? I mean, look, partially produced with genetic engineering, you never read that on a pretzel package, okay?
Wow. All right, well, put those away. They're scaring me. How'd you get two packages? I had mine at the station. You got an extra one. Wow.
Yeah, but I never ate them because I was waiting for my coffee to become drinkable. So, anyway.
Look at you. Okay, well, that's how you get what's coming to you in a good way.
So, I'm a bartender.
Yeah, you're mixing a drink. But, you know, I feel we should actually start the show because who cares about us traveling? People say that's the shows they enjoy the most is when we're traveling. But we also have things to talk about.
Or our drinks.
Well, yeah, mixing drinks on the air, that's a first, I think. Have we done that before?
I don't think so.
We've had wine on the air, and on tape shows, folks, not in the studio. Don't drink in the studio. We're on our way, actually, to Florida, which is a state I've only been to a couple of times, never for very long. I know I was in Miami in 1989. I know that because we were invading Panama at the time, and everybody was talking about that. I was there again before going to Cuba, and then after coming back from Cuba, again, only for as short a period of time as possible. And I think there was one other time when I was driving cross-country, and I might have stayed in Pensacola, someplace close to that on the, whatever they call that thing, what is that, the panhandle? I don't know what they call it. The part of Florida, it looks like it doesn't belong in Florida. And that's it.
Yeah, I've only been, twice, I think.
to visit, not by choice, but to visit, I think, family.
Well, what do people do there? I don't mean to sound overly ignorant, but I know it's warm. Didn't bring my Russian hat. There's golf courses, there's beaches. Everyone talks about that all the time. Disney World, which I've never been to. What are we going to do down there?
There's a lot of leisure. I'll tell you that. It's there's a lot of leisurely things. It's usually, it's quintessentially a place for retirees. And also, it's got a reputation for that. I mean, it's become the sort of the place to go. And so anyway, these aren't all, old faint of heart retirees either. I'm talking about these people, they ride around like they own the place, because they kind of do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they got all their swagger, and, they show off their electric golf carts or whatever it is. There's a whole, social hierarchy at play, but they're just, more interested in their health problems and stuff. And I don't know. I'm really cynical. I don't really like Florida that much. I don't really know anybody in Florida. And I don't really know... And I'm not at a place in my life where I want to lounge on beaches and, feel smug about how I escaped winter.
Well, sounds like you're in the mood for a shuffleboard then. I understand they have leagues down there.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Well, we're going to notice the things that are different, and I don't want to sound negative myself about Florida, about people there. It's just it's not my cup of tea so much, and I know there's awesome people, and probably really cool things to do as well. But climate-wise, it's not for me. I'm also on the way back. This is really going to be interesting. We're going to be driving because we're picking up some furniture. We're going to drive it back to New York. So we're going to have a bit of a truck, a little truck, and we'll be driving through the Deep South. And as you might recall from our Eclipse trip to Tennessee, I really started to dig the South, Mississippi and Tennessee and Louisiana. And you just sort of realize that, there are great differences and there are very troubling things going on, but there's also really amazing people that are clued in. There are people who truly care regardless of whether or not you agree with them politically. And just, it's a different atmosphere. It's more relaxed. The food is very different. And these are the things to try and open up your mind to. And that might open up a doorway into more dialogue and more understanding. We're going to be going through Alabama intentionally. It's not really on the way, but with all this this Michael Moore stuff going on.
It's not Michael Moore. People get this wrong all
it's
the time.
It's not Michael Moore?
No. It's Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. No. You're confused because the film was called Roger and Me by Michael Moore, and everyone thinks Roger Moore, but Roger Moore is actually
Bond,
007.
Yeah, James right. Bond. No, he's sexist. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure what's going on over there, but apparently they're upset at Michael Moore and James Bond. And
oh, no, it's Roy. Roy, that's what it is.
Roy.
Roy Moore. How could you... Come on.
What kind of a name is Roy? Wow. Have you ever known a Roy?
Yes.
Really? Is Roy short for something? Because... there are very few three-letter names that I know. Like Bob is short for Robert. Jim is short for James. What the hell is Roy short for?
Royce?
You know what? Let's go to Alabama, track this guy down, and ask him that question. Nothing else, just what's your name short for? Or maybe we can find his birth certificate and find out that way and see if he's listed as a sex offender there or something. No, it's a crazy situation and one that the whole country is following. With this guy being accused of going after 14-year-olds when he was in his 30s and being kicked out of shopping malls and calling high schools to harangue people.
And shamefully, this is coming about. I think people, in this moment, shamefully are more upset because of the parallels and the contrast to whom is now in the White House and his legacy. To say nothing of the fact that this guy did actually stalk whatever, teenagers in malls or pursue or and have proclivities for, you know, having adult relationship with a younger person like
that. He would claim otherwise, though. He would say that that's not true. Now, here's how you basically come to conclusions. Because, yeah, anybody can say anything. In fact, many people can say anything. But to have these people, at least one of whom, it's probably a lot more than that because it's Alabama, is a diehard Republican, come out and say this kind of thing. Now, why are they all come out at the same time? Well, basically, that's how it works. One person says something, and that pretty much wakes other people up saying, okay, someone else came forward, now I can come forward. I feel less like I'll be scrutinized overly and subjected to all kinds of harassment, which probably is going to happen anyway. But when you look at this, when you look at people who don't know each other, who have a very similar story, and it corroborates. You know, I can never get that word right. It coincides with things that happened, such as that. Yes, he was in that particular office at that time, that year. He was seen at that high school or in that shopping mall. There are police records, et cetera.
And employees.
Yeah, people who come forward. And keep in mind, you know, this is Alabama. This is a place where people are pretty loyal to their convictions, and they don't like being told what to do. I respect that, and I understand why so many people are sticking with Roy Moore regardless of all these bits of information. But it's wrong because you're looking away from the facts and looking at the people that are annoying you out of state and people like us, I guess. But at some point, you have to realize, as many people with conviction have, that this is just not the right candidate for this particular position. And the fact that this guy Doug Jones, the Democrat who's running, this is the guy that helped prosecute the terrorist that blew up that church in the 60s. And that's got to be a feather in your cap. And the way it's being interpreted when people say, I'd rather have a strongly suspected, and I'm being generous here, strongly suspected child molester in office than a Democrat, even if he did prosecute Klan members who killed four girls. That is, that's very flawed logic. Because yes, you have a Democrat, it's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, why do people think that's the worst thing in the world? What is it that they're afraid is going to happen exactly? Because it's never happened before. There's never been a rush to grab everybody's guns or raise taxes 100%. And if you look at what's been going on with this current administration, and I'm happy that we haven't said his name, but with the current administration, everything that we are told to fear from the Democrats is coming true. From the taxes are going up, and we are weak in the rest of the world's eyes, and all sorts of things like that. We can go on, but the point is, this is a very pivotal moment in Alabama that we are going to be witnessing. I'm not sure how we're going to be witnessing it. We'll probably see all kinds of signs. We'll probably talk to a couple of people. We might get chased out of the state. Who knows? But it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing that basically the entire emphasis and energy stores of the Democrats and people opposed to this administration is basically being thrust behind preserving some semblance of the status quo insofar as these regressive policies are being forced upon people under the guise of some sort of political revolution or populist revolution, which, you know, it may be in some views, but there is a heck of a lot of interest in denying it the opportunity to thrive, and that is hopefully, I think, what we're going to see more of in the future.
We're also going to be passing through parts of Georgia, I believe. I like to go to pass through South Carolina and stop in a little town called Clemson again, because I went there, I think it was 86 I went there, and I actually did some radio there as well. It's this university, Clemson University, that has an 80,000-seat football stadium right smack in the middle of it, something that Stony Brook gets closer to every day. But in this particular case, football is everything to them. They have football dormitories. The football team is protected as if they were heads of state. It's really kind of a crazy culture, but it's a very real culture in that part of the country. Unfortunately, when we're going through there, I thought they were playing a home game because the schedule said at South Carolina, but apparently Clemson is at South Carolina. Even though Clemson is in South Carolina, they're playing another team that's called South Carolina. I'll never understand college football, but it's just kind of a cool place to pass through. There's big tiger paws on the street everywhere. And from there, we'll make our way up, I guess, through North Carolina and then back to the Northeast.
Yeah, and with no delay, hopefully. I'd really like to, you know, just explore briefly, but make it a quick trip, because I'm not kidding myself. This is more time than I've ever spent and ever will spend in Florida. And I say and feel the same thing about California. I don't know and will not spend enough time there to ever know anyone of consequence that I want to spend time with enough to get to know the area to know what to do when I'm there. So that said, Godspeed, and I'm going to drink my drink now.
And now the drinks have been mixed. Anything I should know about this? Is it spicy?
Yes.
Okay. Let's try this out. Is that a straw, or is that just a...
They're like coffee stirrer straws, so they're very skinny. I don't know if they're actually going to work. This might take everything we've got to finish these.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm willing to expend everything I've got. In fact, I might even have one of those goldfish packages if it's okay with you. I know you're the one that got them out of Penn Station.
Yeah. I won't object. No, please... this is the part of a trip where you relax and...
Oh, man, that's good. Sorry. Boy, but that is one good drink you made there. Nothing like an Amtrak Bloody Mary.
Well, they use Finnish vodka. I'm not going to, you know, promote anything, but they don't skimp.
No, they have good stuff here. In this particular case, you mix it, but they will mix it for you as well. And we always know where to go to get them. Sometimes you go downstairs into a cafe that nobody knows about, and... there's a guy there that'll put it together for you, and sometimes you just walk into a lounge car like we did and get ushered out because they're losing power soon. Other times they'll bring it right to you. Maybe we can order it at dinner as well. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it'll become a thing. Maybe it won't, but it's a little bit of these trips that we enjoy, and we hope you enjoy listening. We'll update you on our travels, and yeah, amazing. Amazing to... be on the road again, and yeah, it's good to clear your mind. I'm doing a little reading myself, and I feel like it will be a deserved break, and we'll be ready for more adventure when we get back to the Northeast.
Yes, we're taking a break from encoding all the CDs of WUSB, which is taking forever, but hold on, an announcement.
Washington, D.C. is your destination. Please simply simply gather all personal belongings and exit only where you see a uniformed member of the crew, as all doors will not open. Washington, D.C. coming up next.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. is a designated smoke stop. You can step off the train, stretch your legs, or have a cigarette. We'll be asking you to please remain train side and listen to any and all reporting announcements. Washington, D.C. coming up next.
You know, since pot is legal in Washington, D.C., and this is a smoke break, I want to ask the conductor, would it be legal to puff on a joint on the station platform?
No, it's in states where it is legal, the tendency of Amtrak is to keep their customers happy. I'm not, don't at all quote me on that.
Well,
but
that would keep customers happy, I think.
I think that though they are... operating on a federal system, they tend to respect state and local and cultural norms, laws and norms. And so my experience, you know, when we're in places like Oregon or other places around the country where it is legal, if someone is smoking or several people are smoking cannabis, it's really not something they're going to be alarmed by. And especially when you're in those places, so many people are doing it, it would be really, really hard to try to say, well, no, because we're Amtrak, we can't do this or that or the other thing. So in general, if you're a good passenger, you'll have a good experience, and just leave it at that.
There was that one time though, we were traveling. I forget which train we were on, but remember, people do get treated differently on Amtrak. I've noticed there's almost a class system where if you're in a room, you get wined and dined and all that kind of thing. If you're in one of the passenger cars with just regular seats, not so much. And there was this one poor guy at a smoke break who went to a convenience store, hiked over to a convenience store because we were there for about 25 minutes, and came back with a case of beer. And at that point, they said, you can't bring that on the train. And there was nothing he could do. He had to leave his beer on the platform. But, I mean, that to me just seemed such a random act of discipline that you're not allowed to. I mean, I imagine, yeah, you're not allowed to drink on the train. But to tell somebody they can't even have what they just bought and bring that on the train just seemed overly cruel. We could have said, you know, we'll take it because we can do anything. We're in the sleepers. But then, you know, we would have had to give it back to him and a whole big conversation would have happened. Best to just, you know, like they do in Star Trek, just stand back and don't interfere and let things play out, let history play out.
He should have just cracked one open, gave one to a conductor, handed them all out, and drank them all right there on the platform and had a good laugh about it. I mean, it's hard, though. I mean, he was running. Obviously had just come from a convenience store. It was not being discreet at all. And I mean, what's the conductor going to do? You're standing there with black bags or, you know, half racks of beer under your arm to go sit in a coach seat. It's, you know, it's not something that maybe you'd get as much scrutiny for in a sleeper car because maybe you used a bag and you're being discreet and you're not having a party with 20 people right around you. And it's different when you're in an actual... When you've got a room or roommate, you know, you're not going to be disrupting people if you're drinking that much or whatever you're doing. But I feel like maybe, and this is where what you're saying is coming in, that sort of class system kicks in where, in their view, it would be disruptive for you to drink, you know, 12 beers in a seat, which may have families or children or older people or somebody around you that is basically going to have to deal with all your fumes and everything, so...
I could see that being a concern, but, oh, here we go again. They could have said, okay, we'll store this for you until you get off, and I think that would have been a much nicer arrangement, because I heard him complaining about it later on. He said he spent $50 on this and lost it all.
Yeah. They could have easily put them in the luggage car, and they would have stayed nice and cold.
Yes. They're warning that people will be boarding the train here, so we should make room. And we are going to have somebody joining us in our room in Washington, D.C. I didn't tell you that, Kyle. Yeah, it's like in Europe.
Oh, no.
Oh, actually, I don't do that here. But in Europe, we're always surprised. One time we were going to Poland, or was it the train all the way to Belarus?
It was from Warsaw to, I believe Belarus. I'm not quite sure, though, because I think we did Belarus, then Kiev. But we'd have to go back and listen to the tape.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think we got on at Warsaw, and the train was to Minsk in Belarus. And we opened the door to our room, and there was a guy there, all laid out on the bed, all comfortable and all that. And he basically was part of the package. you when you get a room, you have to sometimes split it with other people.
Yeah.
We made it work, you know. We set up boundaries. And there was the other time when we were going from Milan to Paris, and we had an entire Chinese family in our car on one side, a mother, father, and a daughter. Had a guy from Pakistan on our side, and we had the two remaining bunks, six people. And nobody knew how to make all the seats into beds except you. You were able to climb around and figure it all out.
Well, it's mostly because I didn't want to watch people agonize over not knowing how to do it when it's intuitive enough for me to do it, get it done, and not have to sit there and watch people fumble around like idiots.
Yeah, yeah. And I would have been one of those people and probably would have lost a finger in the process. Here on Amtrak, they say, we'll do it. While you're at dinner, your bed will naturally be turned down. And it usually is. So that's kind of cool right there. But yeah, so we won't have anybody joining us on this particular stop. But what's interesting here, does DC, does it dead end or do you keep going straight after? I'm not sure if we're going to go backwards now, or how long we're going to be here.
Oh, that's a good question because I've not looked at the station as much. I think,
when we do Acela, we go underground. This seems to be sort of an arterial or an outside station, or maybe we're above ground in that very station right at the Capitol there. But, yeah, this feels like we're right next to, what is that? That's Amtrak over there. I see Amtrak over there. So we're on an above ground, outside track.
Oh, we're on a different track. You're right. There, I see Acela. And by the way, we've only done Acela once from Boston to New York. Usually we just take a regular Northeast regional type train. But I see the Acelas over there and the other Amtrak trains on over to the right, and we're on our leftmost track. So maybe those dead end. In fact, they do dead end because when you get on the train, the end of the train is right there, and then the station is right behind it.
We travel too much. I'm already thinking that you were talking about the Chinese family and that train was actually from Austria, but we travel too much. We're getting all these stories screwed up. I honestly remember two Acela rides, one of the recent ones you were talking about, but also another one where we took it either down or up, but not all the way to DC or something. I think we did one way down and then an Acela back at one point, but it's one of many different trips, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Many other people should be experiencing these things and embracing these old Amtrak cars, because in another year or two, three, they're going to be gone.
What are they being replaced with? Buses or nothing?
New ones.
Okay. Well, it's a Trump. Oh, I said the word. I'm sorry. It's that era. He has basically declared war on long distance trains for some reason. Hopefully we'll get through that. But in that vein, though, Florida is one of the states that had the opportunity for high speed rail. They basically turned down the money from Obama and canceled the project. So they're not getting high speed rail as a result of that. But they are getting a private company, Brightview or something like that. I forget what their name is, but they're basically building a what's known as a higher speed rail network in Florida, and they already have a commuter rail line that you can get in Fort Lauderdale and go to Miami. This is also going to go to Fort Lauderdale, and you get to Miami using this particular private line, and of course you have Amtrak that connects those cities. So you'll have three different train options to get from those two cities, which I think is kind of crazy. But supposedly they'll hook up the rest of the state eventually. I don't know about the west coast of the state, but parts of it anyway.
I honestly think this is the only way that, from as much as we have like blown hot air about, you know, as much, you know, all the things we want to see and that we should have in this country, this is the actual practical only way we're going to see this stuff happen. Like you're seeing in Texas with their high speed lines, California as well, for whatever folly and hiccups they have. Same thing in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, the expansion of Sound Transit in addition to the link system being extended and furthered and additional stops made. All of that sort of periphery of transportation solutions will eventually have to, it must interconnect with something bigger and broader. And when every single state in our country has smaller systems that are basically ready for Amtrak to get serious and for the nation to get serious about it, I think we'll actually have a much easier time integrating. And that's kind of how things go with a lot of different things in our country, is that they come up from the state level and it becomes a national priority eventually. So I can only hope for that.
I'm looking at a page here in our room with some train facts. Did you know a single freight car can hold enough barley for 94,000 gallons of beer? And they say cheers after that. All kinds of reasons why trains are cool, apart from the fact that, hey, they're trains. One of the most scenic rail routes in the world, the California Zephyr, which we traveled on, offers views of the Rocky Mountains and Sierra Nevada. 1869, the Golden Spike completed the first transcontinental railroad connecting coast to coast. Would you believe a train can move a ton of goods from coast to coast on only 6 gallons of fuel? Really? Wow. Okay, well, because it's one ton, so you're moving a lot of tons, and I guess when you add all the fuel up that they use in the train and divide it by all the tons, you get that kind of amazing figure.
Well, add that ton up with air travel as far as freight goes, and you know, unless you have an interest or you're selling very high price items that are heavy, you really can't afford to do that on an airplane.
Do you love Fritos? A single freight car can hold enough corn to make 480,000 bags. Well, it's not the most compelling argument, but it is impressive. And finally, Amtrak carries 3 times as many passengers between Washington, D.C. and New York City as all airlines combined. Yeah. So it does work in certain situations. Imagine if you made a hub between, say, Chicago and St. Louis, or New Orleans and, I don't know, San Antonio. There's a line, actually, from New Orleans to Florida that has been wiped out since Sandy that they have not rebuilt. And plans hopefully will one day materialize to rebuild that. But again, you have to make it worthwhile by having high-speed trains, by having it be modern and convenient. More people will decide not to use airlines and decide to go by train because it makes more sense. That's what people do in other parts of the world. There's no reason why we all have to be driving cars or flying in airplanes when there's a better way.
Yeah, the key, I think, is it's not going to come directly from Amtrak. It's not going to come directly from a grand design of a national rail system. That just saying that sentence sounds, you know, like something from Soviet era or whatnot. But this is exciting in that you're getting even more private and different types of transportation in the mix. Recently, I think the Hyperloop project got a property somewhere on the East Coast to begin that project from, I believe, Maryland to Washington, D.C., which is another totally different speed level, totally different capability, but I think it's good in that it adds to the overall mix of projects that are coming up and showing the importance of terrestrial transportation from these major hubs.
Well, I mean, this is something that you brought up, and we only have a couple of minutes left, but people will be listening to this show in the future when presumably Hyperloops do exist, but maybe you could describe what a Hyperloop will be like, what we're looking at, and then people in the future can correct us.
It's like space travel on the ground, and it's basically very, very high-speed travel in a simulated vacuum. So the environment of space, e.g. very low atmosphere, very low air pressure or vacuum, none actually by definition, and that environment in a channel or a tube that then a vehicle could travel through at very high rates of speed with near frictionless resistance because of the vacuum.
So the idea is for us to be able to travel from one place to another a lot more quickly than anything we have now. And are we going to be comatose in little tubes when we do this, or are we actually be able to walk around?
Well, the concepts for the actual propulsion and vacuum itself were all very, very small. And the first designs, I think, from the backers, of course, the Boring Company and Mr. Musk.
The Boring Company.
Yeah, which is a play, I think, on the Boeing Company, which pioneered air travel, but the Boring Company is about building tunnels for this project. So I think Musk has done concepts and stuff, but by allowing it to be a competitive thing and allowing students and other people to get involved with the designs, I think their concepts of it are probably much smaller than what we'll actually see. So they've had sketch-ups or models that have been maybe half a dozen passengers, something you might see with a lot of the new private space travel concepts, like with Virgin, you know, having a dozen people in space, you know, on a recreational trip. Those are the mock-ups that the Boring Company they've come up with for the Hyperloop, but in practicality the first things they'll actually try are probably cargo stuff that can withstand vacuum and is less prone to being hurt by something like this.
Well, I look forward to the first Hyperloop voyages beginning in hopefully the near future, and all kinds of other interesting scientific projects that propel us into the 21st century even further than we already are. Right now, though, we are sitting here in Washington, D.C. We're about to lose power, I guess, as we switch from electric to diesel. That's the other thing. You know, everything is diesel outside of the Northeast Corridor, which slows it down and gets you kicked out of lounge cars. Hopefully that will change in the future, and we'll be able to have high-speed rail like everywhere else in the in the world, almost everywhere else in the world. We're going to continue on our voyage down south. We're going to we're going to finish these Bloody Marys.
Yeah, we're supporting Amtrak by doing our part here with the cafe car, and we'll report back later.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. We will see you from somewhere next week. Good night.
Always is always forever. Is one, is one, is one. Look inside yourself for your father. All is love, is one. Time to talk, time from behind you. The illusion has been just a dream. Valley of death, and I'll find you. Now is when on a sunshine beam. So bring only your perfection, for there will surely be. No cold, no fear, no hunger. You can't see, you can't see, you can't see.